Hello, everybody. Can you guys hear me?
Hello.
Cool. My name is Valde Kozáčuk. I'm one of the few OSV committers, and I'm here to tell you about the latest enhancements made to OSV since my last presentation at FOSDEM a year ago. So first off, I want to apologize for this very long title. Actually, most of my talk is really going to be focused on the first part, but I'll also try to mention a little bit about the other things. So in today's presentation, I will talk about the enhancements to support statically linked executables and dynamically linked executables launched via Linux Dynamic Linker. I will also briefly describe the implementation of the INA driver to support AWS Nitro. In addition, I will preview the new xconfig-based mechanism to allow further customization of OSV. Finally, I will talk about upcoming 1.0 release and beyond. Most applications do not make system calls into Linux kernel directly, as we know. Instead, they do it indirectly by way of calling libc functions that delegate to syscall or SVC instruction on ARM. On Linux, for example, the dynamically linked executables are launched by program interpreter LD, which memory maps the executable ELF along with other ELF files it depends on, like libcso, libthreadso, and so on. Then resolves undefined symbols like puts or pthreadcreate, and finally invokes the main function. On OSV, the built-into kernel dynamic linker plays the role of the program interpreter that performs similar steps as on Linux. But instead of loading the aforementioned libraries, it resolves the undefined symbols by pointing them to OSV implementations of those. The OSV linker supports both shared libraries and dynamically linked libraries, dynamically linked executables, I'm sorry, that are either position dependent or non-position dependent. The benefit that programs interact with the benefit is that programs interact with the OSV kernel using the fast local function calls without the overhead of syscall instruction. On the negative side, the Linux compatibility is a moving target because glibc keeps adding new functions, and on the OSV side, we have to keep implementing them. This slide here illustrates how dynamically linked programs would traditionally interact with OSV kernel. The drawing shows an executable procedure linkage table, PLT, on the left side, and the dynamic linker and libc implementation that are part of OSV kernel on the right side. So in this example, after the dynamically dynamic linker memory maps the program into the memory, actually more specifically the ELF segments, it then sets up the PLT to later resolve and replace the puts function call placeholder with the address of its implementation in OSV kernel, which typically happens upon the very first call. Now, the statically linked executables interact with Linux kernel by directly making system calls and reading from pseudofile systems like procfs and sysfs. Initially, OSV implemented a fairly small number of system calls, around 70, to support running going programs that were interesting because they would call libc functions to create threads, for example, and execute system calls to do other things, like, for example, socket API. But this was not enough to support statically linked executables. To make this possible, we had to implement some key new system calls like brk and clone, and add substantial number of other ones to bring the total to 137 at this point. However, the most tricky part was adding support for the application fed local storage, so-called TLS. The dynamically linked programs that run on OSV in a traditional way would share the thread local storage with kernel and allow OSV to fully control setup of TLS. The statically linked executables, on other hand, want to allocate their own TLS and set the FS register on x64 or T64 tpidr0 on ARM, and to the thread control address for each thread. On x64, the solution was basically to utilize the GS register to point to the per CPU structure with a copy of that application kernel TCB and basically update it on every context switch. On AHR64, we did similar thing. Now, the point of this enhancement is that we basically improved the Linux compatibility because now we don't have to worry about these cases where, for example, application tries to call functions in libc that OSV doesn't implement. But the drawback, obviously, of this of the system calls interface is that obviously we pay overhead of syscall instruction every time, which on average I measured is around 110 nanoseconds on x64. This picture actually illustrates what happens behind the scenes. So on the right side, actually, OSV dynamic linker still plays some small role. It still memory maps the segments of the ELF. It reads the headers, obviously. But then it just jumps to the start of the ELF. And from this point on, the interactions basically between the program and the OSV happen simply through syscall instruction. The exciting side effect, actually, of enhancing OSV to support statically linked executable is basically capability to run dynamically linked executables via Linux dynamic linker instead of basically the OSV built-in one. The Linux dynamic linker LD is statically linked position-independent shared object that is loaded and processed by OSV kernel in the exact same way a static executable is. In Linux, the dynamic linker would be launched implicitly, right? And by simply introspecting the interp program header. In OSV, we have to launch the Linux LD executable explicitly and pass its path along with the arguments, as you can actually see in And actually, as you can see in this script run py example. So we're passing actually the absolute path to the Linux dynamic linker, and then we're actually adding all the path of the executable and any arguments. So obviously, just like with statically linked executables, there is same benefit that we are now much more compatible with Linux because one can take any application that works on Linux with glibc and it should work on OSV. Just because when we build the image, OSV is going to actually load the glibc, SO, and any other libraries that given application needs. The drawback is the same because we are again paying 110 nanoseconds for every syscall instruction. And this slide again tries to illustrate the interactions between the OSV and the application. It's as you can see on the right, you have the OSV kernel, on the left the application, the Linux dynamic linker. That is executed just like with static executables, and then it loads the application ELF into memory by using mmap system call, and then also executes the application itself, loads any libraries, and from this point on, all the interactions happen with syscall instructions. Now, to help analyze and troubleshoot statically linked executables or dynamically linked launch basically in this new way, we have added a new diagnostic tool that called S-Trace, which is obviously similar to what one can do on Linux. In essence, one can specify all interesting trace points using irregular expressions. In this example, to monitor system calls, you just add a syscall star, and you enable S-trace system thread that basically would print all the trace point calls to the standard output, and as the application basically gets hit while program runs. How many minutes do I have left?
7 minutes.
7 minutes. So to recap what I have talked about in previous six slides, in the first two I described the traditional way of running dynamically linked programs on OSD, which benefit from fast local function calls, but may suffer from compatibility issues. In the next two slides, I explain the new enhancements to allow running statically linked executables. And finally, in the last two slides, I covered a new alternative way of running dynamically linked programs launched by Linux Dynamic Linker on OSV, which, again, may suffer from tiny overhead of handling system calls, but benefit from much better compatibility with Linux. In essence, these new enhancements greatly improve the OSV application and should make possible to run more programs on it. In addition to what I have talked so far, we have also implemented a beta version of the AWS Elastic Network Adapter. In essence, we basically took the FreeBSD implementation by AWS and made it work on OSV, and we tried to minimize all that, so basically, and make minimize the changes so that we can backport any possible future, for example, fixes, and disable a lot of stuff that simply does not apply to OSV. The resulting driver costs us around 7,000 lines of, 7,000 lines of mostly C code and 56 kilobytes of larger kernel size. The challenge obviously was testing that because it can only be done on the running Nitro instance in AWS. So far the driver seems to be pretty stable, and I've tested using, and seems to yield decent performance. I've tested that using iPerf 3, NetPerf, and some simple HTTP server app application. As you may have guessed, actually, this DNA driver, the ENA driver implementation is enough to run OSV on with RAMFS on Nitro EC2 instance, and so there's actually a script that I wrote to simplify the upload of the OSV image, creating a snapshot and basically creating AMI. And one thing, obviously, to run OSV on a Nitro instance with non-volatile file system like ZFS or hopefully EXT in the future, we need to have NVMe driver implementation, which there's actually two pull requests from community at this point, but they haven't been merged yet. They need some love. In my previous presentation at FOSDEM, I talked about kernel modularization and driver profiles. This year, I want to briefly describe a new feature that takes modularization to the next level, and which has been greatly inspired by Unicraft. In essence, the goal is to use the Linux kernel build configuration tool, xconfig, to let the user select OSV components to be included or excluded, and various parameters to configure. The makefile would then simply act on a generated config file, exclude relevant object files, and pass any configuration parameters to the source files. And this is obviously very much work in progress. Obviously, you know, unlike Unicraft, where all the elements are effectively Lego blocks, with OSV, we pretty much have to kind of do the opposite. We have to sprinkle basically the source code with all these if-thens. And this is just an example of what kind of, you know, modules or parameters can be modified. Basically, as an example of what can be accomplished with that new feature is that by hiding basically all the symbols, but those used by application, excluding all necessary components, and changing values of various configurable parameters as listed on this slide, one can build a kernel image of 700